This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. About 8 out of 10 kids are eligible for free and reduced-price school lunches during the school year. Come summertime, though, tens of thousands of local kids are at risk for hunger. Free Store Food Bank and Design Impact teamed up to create two programs, Culinary Camp and Unpacked, to get more kids involved in summer food programs. And here to talk about Culinary Camp and Unpacked and how they're making a difference in our area are social innovation specialists at Design Impact, Caitlin Beal and Michelle Stawicki, and President and CEO of the Free Store Food Bank, Kurt Reiber. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Michelle, Caitlin, and Kurt, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Kurt, tell us, what is the situation that, kids from low-income families face during the summer?
Well, when you think about hunger and the impact that it has, when and your stats are just right on, you know, 8 out of 10 kids during the school year have access to free and reduced lunches. But the difficulty is that during the summer months, the kids either can't get to the rec centers to access these food programs or the libraries, and they're not going to school. So we're trying to figure out a way, and through with the grant that we received from ConAgra and Feeding America, we're able to engage with Design Impact and really try to think of some innovative ways to reach these children that would be safe, that will be scalable, and that will be allow us to really make a difference in their feeding patterns, and so they're eating healthy, nutritious food during the summer months.
And Kurt, we're talking about tens of thousands of kids, are we not?
Well, in the tri-state, in the 20 counties served by the Free Store Food Bank, there are roughly 100,000 children that are dealing with food insecurity, dealing with hunger. Overall, we have 300,000 individuals that make up that population as well that are dealing with hunger.
So, Michelle or Caitlin, who wants to field this one? We've got two local programs that get kids more involved with summer food programs. Let's start with Culinary Camp. Who wants to describe that one to me? They're pointing at each other.
I'll jump in. So, Culinary Camp was a really exciting program for us. We actually got to work with some local organizations, one of them being Upspring, and then we also worked at the Millville Rec Center to pilot this idea, which was around how do we engage kids during the summertime with appropriate activities. And that really came to life when we learned that kids are interested in learning how to cook. A lot of them take care of older siblings and don't necessarily have the skills or tools they need to do that. So we looked at it. We worked with some local nutritionists and food experts to really understand how could we make a healthy menu, but make it really accessible as well. So we knew a lot of kids had limited resources in terms of supplies or tools or equipment. So what could we do with simple, basic things that would still give them that creative outlet to create their own food?
So what kinds of food are we talking about? What types of foods are the kids learning how to cook?
We did a whole bunch of things. One, we ended the program with a creative pizza competition where we used flatbread rounds that were whole wheat, some cheese, things like that. But we also did a program around protein where they made lettuce turkey wraps as well as trail mix that was nut-free because we noticed a lot of kids had nut allergies. They made a confetti salad, which was a really fun way to bring a lot of color, fruits, and vegetables into a salad. And it was just really neat to see kind of these kids' confidence grow as well as their excitement grow as they got the chance to be the creators of the things they were eating.
And now, how long did the camp run for?
So the prototype that we did was a five-lesson program. So it was five separate sessions that we did with Upspring. And there was actually two age groups there. So there were 8 to 9-year-olds as well as 10 to 11-year-olds. And then at Millville, the age range was much broader. There we focused on three classes, and the kids ranged from age 3 all the way up to 14. But what was really unique about that as well is it really taught us that you don't need a lot of space to do this. At Millville, we were in a hallway, and we were able to run the same program in a smaller space.
How many kids took part in this?
A number of kids, yeah.
So at the Upspring program, so we had fairly consistent numbers. It was the same kids that went through this summer camp called Summer 360. And we had about 20 kids in the 8 to 9-year-old group, and 10 to 12, it was maybe like 25 kids. So, yeah, we were looking at basically around 50 kids.
A day.
A day, yeah. Millville Rec Center was interesting because what we were really testing in that particular environment was if we created this innovative, creative programming that kids would be interested in, would they keep coming back? So the first day we went, I think there were probably 18 kids. And by the third day, we had more and more kids coming back and more kids that were new to the program because they had heard about it from their friends. And I think at that point, we had almost 40 kids crammed into this hallway.
So what kinds of things were you hearing from the kids, Caitlin? What were they telling you about the program?
Oh, man, it was such a joy to hear from these kids. We heard everything from they were trying new foods. So a lot of the kids got to try edamame for the first time. So we tried to introduce foods that, as Michelle said, were accessible, but still they could be unique and exciting. We heard, actually, when we did black bean roll-ups, we heard from one kid that it was better than Taco Bell. So I got to drop the mic after that. I was like, well, I'm done. I've done my work here. Michelle, you heard some really great stuff.
Yeah,
too.
I think the biggest thing that we heard was just a lot of excitement. So the fact that kids had the chance to be the chef or the cook, and at culinary camp, we actually brought in chef hats so that they could look and feel the part, which again added to that kind of enthusiasm all around. I think my favorite comment came from a boy who said, like, this is the best thing ever. And just hearing that is really exciting when you know how it's not often you get that from a kid who's eating a turkey lettuce wrap, something really healthy.
I think what's really special about culinary camp is for a lot of kids who are experiencing food insecurity, they don't have a lot of choice in what they get to eat. So they come to these programs and everybody gets the same sandwich and you may not even know what's on that sandwich, whereas they got to see what ingredients went into their food. They got to choose the ingredients. So they got to say red pepper versus yellow pepper versus turkey versus ham. And I think that experience was so different for them and so exciting. And I felt like it just motivated them even more to make healthy choices.
And that's really what we see, you know, in most of our programs. When you think about it, when the kids can start to take charge and they're engaged, then, you know, they go back and they tell their parents when they're going through the supermarket, they're saying, hey, I had that green melon there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's called, but they've had it and they enjoy it. And that's something that, you know, the parents, because they have limited resources right from the get-go. So if you don't want to splurge on, you know, fresh produce if you don't know that the kids are going to eat it. So being able to do this with culinary camp was just really a great way for us to, you know, work with the kids and make sure that they were really engaged.
Mm-hmm. And I think a unique component about culinary camp as well that we haven't mentioned was the ability to actually engage teenagers through this process as well. So we had worked with Sprout Insights up front to do some really deep discovery work so that we could understand kind of what the landscape looked like. And one of the things we learned is that it was even harder to reach teenagers during the summertime. So one component of the camp was actually that we used teen volunteers to help prepare all the food, to help manage kind of we'll call it a classroom, but it was more of a kitchen cafeteria / hallway space. And what that did was it really broke down some of the stigma that comes with summer feeding sites, and it allowed the teenagers to have a role and responsibility with the camp. So they were a big part of putting it on as well.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. So, Caitlin, since Michelle started off describing culinary camp, I guess we'll have you describe Unpacked. So tell us about Unpacked, how it got its start and what that is.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we heard is that a lot of kids, even though they may want to go to these existing sites that offer free lunch, like recreation centers, local pools, for a lot of different reasons, they aren't able to get to those places. So it could be safety issues. It could be transportation issues. Kurt and I were talking before this about how a lot of times with parents working all day, you know, they're telling the older siblings, you and your brother and sister, you just stay here in the apartment or the house, and they're there all day. So they maybe aren't even able to get to those sites. So Unpacked is a mobile lunch pop-up that was there to basically break down these barriers to meet kids where they are. So we basically took the idea of a summer feeding site. We stuck it in a van with a pop-up tent and some balloons and some bumpin' music, and we drove around to area parks in Avondale, Price Hill. We also went to a couple apartment buildings and, basically just rolled up and saw what happened. And what ended up happening is we had...
I've heard these described as pop-up picnics.
Yes.
Is that a pretty good way of looking at it?
That's a good way to describe it. In a lot of ways, it kind of reminds you of when you go to a music festival and you might see somebody with, free Kind bars that's passing them out. And so we wanted to make it a really fun, really accessible experience. We had a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helped because it was really bright and colorful. And like Caitlin mentioned, there was music playing. So what it allowed us to do was be flexible with where we could move and be so that we could be really present with the community. So one place that we were at in Price Hill was an apartment complex, and when we drove up, it didn't look like maybe there would be a lot of kids there. We weren't sure, but as soon as we popped up and started the music and the colors and the branding were all present, one kid popped their head out of the window, and before we knew it, 60 kids or more were all coming to get healthy sandwiches with sides of fruit and milk. And that was really exciting because 5 minutes prior to that, we were at the nearby rec center where there was also a number of kids and teenagers. So it would maybe feel like, oh, everyone's there already. But what it taught us is not everyone was there and that there were more ways to reach kids in that community.
Any idea how many kids you did reach through Unpacked?
Well, I think on Unpacked, I think we had 65 the one day and like 120 or so the next, and we could have served more, but we really didn't know what to expect. And that's part of these pilot programs, as you say, okay, where are you going with this, and how you replicate it, and how you make it not only scalable but also sustainable. And that's something that, you know, I think this is helping us work on these pilot programs that will allow us to then take this from the Free Store Food Bank, from the concept phase that Design Impact helped us with, to take it out to a full-fledged effort that will, you know, take to the 20 counties we serve.
Now, Kurt, does Free Store have any food programs that it runs during the school year?
Well, absolutely. We have our Kids Cafe program that is our, it's a sort of an offshoot of our culinary program called Cincinnati Cooks, where we have underemployed and unemployed adults that come in. It's a 10-week training program, but during those 10 weeks, they're preparing over 1,000 meals a day that goes out to 17 of our Kids Cafe sites, where we partner with other nonprofits that do after-school programming, such as the Cincinnati Symphony, Boys and Girls Club, Urban League. They'll come and do either homework help, general mentoring, or sometimes when the symphony came in, they talked about, you know, music and things along those lines. Well, that's one program. And then we have a Power Pack program, which is our weekend feeding model. And that's really, this Unpacked is sort of a weekday version of the Power Packs. The Power Packs are really 15 to 20 food items that the kids are – it's kid-friendly food. Kids can take home with them over the weekend from Friday. So they'll have something to eat Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So when they come back to school on Monday, they're not famished, because what the teachers were telling us is that when they came in on Monday morning, all they could do is wait for breakfast. And they weren't really interested in learning until they got something in their stomach.
So you think Unpacked was pretty successful this summer?
Absolutely. It's, one thing that we do at the Free Store Food Bank is if we want to fail, we want to fail quickly. But these were two huge successes for us because, as Michelle said, getting the older kids involved and engaged, that's critical, because so many times when we do our Power Pack program or our Kids Cafe programs, the older kids do not participate because it's not cool. But, the culinary camp was cool because they were in charge. They were helping out. And Unpacked, when you have the music, when you have the bright, colors, it's inviting. And we're meeting the kids where they're at. And that's a safe environment. And it's something where they can really, feel a part of the community.
So anything else planned for this summer? Any more of the pop-up picnics or any more camps coming up?
I think the biggest part for us is now to look through all of the surveys and evaluations to look at how we can best learn and replicate and look for opportunities to scale.
I mean, one thing that we are doing, and this will be carried out not only during the school year but throughout the year, is our Healthy Harvest Mobile Market. That's a program where we're bringing healthy food to 10 food deserts in the 20 county service area that we're serving, so that we're getting fresh fruit and vegetables to these families that would otherwise not have access to that. So that's another innovative program that we've started up in conjunction with Leadership Cincinnati, and actually Design Impact helped us identify some of the tougher areas to work in as far as the food deserts in an earlier program that we did with the Grand City Tour. So, we've had a great collaborative effort with Design Impact. They've been great partners of ours. And, we think between our groups and the folks that we're working with in the community, we're going to solve hunger.
And next summer we'll see Culinary Camp and Unpacked come back for another round?
Well, we'd love to see that. We're hoping to see that expanded to all 20 counties that we're serving. We're doing some work right now with some school pantries, as well as working with some of the libraries in the communities as well, to allow us to reach the kids where they're at.
Well, Kurt and Caitlin and Michelle, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Social Innovation Specialists at Design Impact, Caitlin Beal and Michelle Stawicki, and President and CEO of Free Store Food Bank, Kurt Reiber. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. In August 1955, Emmett Till, a 14-year-old African-American, was kidnapped and murdered by two white men in Mississippi. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll hear how the murder impacted an emerging civil rights movement and discuss the film about the incident, Darhi, The Lynching of Emmett Till. We'll also learn about a program bringing the arts to those in senior centers and nursing homes. That's on Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.